Well, we're in our Mountains and Valleys series. We're just coming off of Easter. We're just finishing celebrating the death and resurrection of the Messiah. Come on. I mean, seriously. The Messiah, he came, right? And he did some work. And I just want to give him praise. And here's what we're going to do together right now, okay? I thought this morning we could read a psalm of praise together. So we'll see how this goes, all right? So at first, I want you just to repeat after me, okay? Here we go. It's a psalm of praise of David, Psalm 145, 1 through 9. I will exalt you. Go ahead.
I will exalt you.
My God and King. And praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Amen. Let's try it all together. Are you ready? Here we go. Just follow me. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. Amen. What if you got up every morning and you just said that psalm? That's pretty good, huh? That's a good way to start the morning. Just praise to our Lord. All right, we left off in Luke 24, around verse 45, with the unbelieving disciples. And if you remember, even after they touched Jesus and they saw Jesus, right? They touched his body. He said, "Touch me. I'm real. I'm not a ghost." They saw him and touched his resurrected body. But then Jesus opens their eyes to understanding. So I want to talk today about what happened next. And you remember, Jesus has a little broiled fish dinner with his disciples to prove that he's real on his resurrection day. And he finishes eating and then just boom, he beams up to heaven. Is that what happens? No, that is not what happens. Let's pick up in Luke 24, verse 46. Here is what he told them, okay? Verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Are we done? No. And wait, I thought that was it. I thought it was just suffer, rise, right? Suffer, die, raise again. No, there's an and here from Jesus, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Okay, so not only did Jesus want his disciples to learn and to follow and to believe in him, he wanted them to see for themselves his death and resurrection. Why? Why? Verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. See, his plan is to empower you to what? To preach repentance and forgiveness and to be a witness of all he has done in your life. Welcome to your purpose in life, right here. Isn't that exciting? Jesus has a plan, right, that goes on in the world, and it's through his followers. Now, Jesus just said this incredible thing. He said, this is what is written. This is what is written, right? Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached. He says, this is what is written. The statement he just said is not specifically stated in the Old Testament. And yet Jesus says, this is what is written. All right? It was written throughout the entire storyline of God's word. What is written throughout the Moses, the writings of Moses, and the law, and the prophets, and the Psalms. And so what Jesus means here is that this is the woven together answer to everything from all of Scripture. Here is what he's been saying all along. Let's put this image up. This is a great image. Isn't that cool? That is a loom and shuttle in the middle, the little boat thing that helps move the yarn around. But if you think about it, all these little lines here, these are all the threads all throughout Scripture, all the stories, all the things that the prophets told and that Moses told all throughout history. But together, that story is weaving an answer. And in this picture, it's weaving a cool blanket. But that's what Jesus is saying here about this is what is written. This is it. Right? It would be as if you're taking all those stories and you wove them together. Where are all these threads? All the little individual pieces of yarn that you saw in that picture? Where are some of these threads? I want to show you some of these threads. Number one, Jesus said, this is what is written, right? He said what? Repentance will be preached. Now, I have some references up here. You may want to write these down. I'm going to read these, but there's a lot of scripture today. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture, okay? So I'm not putting it all up there, but these are the references that you can write down if you want to check this out for yourself. Where are these threads all throughout history? All right, repentance will be preached. The call to repentance is a constant message in the Old Testament. All right? So write these things down. Apparently, Jesus likes things written down. Right? He said this is written. All right. Ezekiel 18:30. Let me read that. Here's what it says. It says, repent. Turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Wow, that's Ezekiel. He's talking into the future, isn't he? It says, why will you die, people of Israel? Why will you die without repentance, right? That's what he's getting at. For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. See, repentance is all throughout Scripture. Let's do another one, Isaiah 55, 7. I'm actually going to start at 6. Here's what it says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Boy, we're even talking about the thought life and the inner life way back then, right? Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts, you know this one, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So way back, he had a plan that he prophesied about the future. All right, let's do the second one. Jesus said, not only repentance will be preached, but he said, and the forgiveness of sins. Right? This is what is written. God's promise to forgive is clearly stated all throughout Scripture. Let's look at some of those threads from the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31, 34. I'm going to start in 33. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time. He's talking about when they were in captivity. Declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Wow, again, we're talking about the inner life, the heart, the mind. That God has a plan to transform those parts of our lives. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will, here it is, forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Wow. God's plan from of old to forgive iniquity and remember sin no more. Wow, let's do another one. We have Isaiah 1:18. Here's what it says, starting in 17. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter. I love that. Let us settle this, says the Lord. We sang this today. I love it. I love it. I'm glad you picked that song. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. God wants to settle this matter of sin in our lives. And this gospel has been preached, hasn't it? This is what was written. Unbelievable. All right, number three. All right, so Jesus says that repentance will be preached and the forgiveness of sins. Where? He said, to all nations. To all nations. See, God's salvation always extended beyond Israel. This is a major theme all throughout Scripture. These are the threads of the Old Testament. Let's take this one way back. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. We're talking to Abraham. Actually, it's even before that. It's when his name was Abram. Genesis 12, 3 says this. It says, I will bless those who bless you. You know this one. And whoever curses you, I will what? Curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Do you hear that? All people on earth will be blessed through you. This message goes to all nations. Let's look at the Psalms. Psalm 22, verse 27. Okay? It says this. It starts by saying, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. Isn't that great? God cares about your family. Right? Your whole family. We're all included here. Okay? They will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Verse 29, all the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust, he's talking about death, right? Will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. He knows we can't live forever in this state. It says posterity will serve him, which means the future. Okay? Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. All the ends of the earth. And we'll do one more there, Isaiah 49, 6. It says, I will make you a light for, can you finish this one? Not the Jews, but the Gentiles. I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. See what Jesus said here. This is what was written. All right? All nations have always been in his plan. So he's taking together all the prophets and the law and everything that was spoken. He's weaving it together and saying, this is what it all means. Right? Now, where does it start? Well, Jesus said it's going to start in Jerusalem, beginning at Jerusalem. Do we have this thread in the Old Testament? God's saving work starting in Jerusalem. Well, Isaiah 2:3. Let me read that for you. Anybody writing these down? Yeah, you want to check these out today. Verse 3, many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. See, the plan has always been to learn the way to walk with Jesus, right? We walk our own way so many times. We go our own way, but we need to walk his way. That's the plan. And it says the law will go out from Zion. Zion is another word that means Jerusalem. But then it says the word of the Lord will go out from Jerusalem. What do we call Jesus? He is the Word made flesh. And the word goes out from Jerusalem. When this was spoken, that was the 8th century BC. And about 100 years after Isaiah said that, right, Jerusalem was destroyed. How could this even come to pass? And yet, right, they were released. It was given back. And Jesus came, and the word went out from Jerusalem, just as he is saying. And then the last one is Micah 4:2. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah, and he says, word for word, the same exact prophecy. Very good. Here's why I'm showing you all this and telling you all this. The gospel has been preached for centuries. The gospel has actually been preached from the beginning. It's always been preached. God's plan has been laid out. It's just only in the last 2,000 years that it has been fully revealed in its meaning, and we understand a lot more. But it has always been preached. It's there in God's word. Isn't that exciting? Like, the plan started so long ago. Looking ahead to future generations, to us here in this room. And I didn't say hi to the people online this morning, and to you in your room. Thank you for being here. All right, now, I love what comes next after Jesus says all that. He didn't just disappear right away after Holy Week and after eating some broiled fish with his disciples, okay? He also appeared to many people, and it tells us that in Acts chapter 1. Let's read that. I told you there'd be a lot of scripture today. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and not just appear, he spoke about the kingdom of God. So Jesus is still out there preaching his kingdom. Even after he rose from the dead, you see, his purpose was way beyond just doing a cool trick. Hey guys, I'm back. You know, he appeared in the room, they all got scared. He had much greater purpose than that. What an example he sets. Jesus doesn't just tell his disciples, hey, go do this, go do what I say, right? Hey, here's what is written. No, he said he leads the way again. He's always leading. Always leading the way. He led the way in suffering. He led the way in death. He led the way in the power of the resurrection. Now he leads the way in the post-resurrection spreading of the gospel. He's showing us what he wants. So the complete summary of the Old Testament storyline, okay? Now, I encourage you to read it, but let's just summarize it. It leads us to three things. One, a call to repent. We are called to repent and turn from our own ways. Two, the promise of forgiveness. You will be forgiven. Is that like not the best thing you've ever heard? Does anyone want to be forgiven of anything you've ever done? Please, God, I embrace this. Thank you. And the third thing is this, and a mission to all nations that began in Jerusalem. Wow. This is what the book of Acts is all about. That's the book of Acts right there, carrying out this mission, and it's our job today. All right? Now, there's one more thing that had to happen to really bring this all together, right? And what really completes that woven blanket that we looked at, that one more thread to bring together. And I want to quickly take us to Daniel, okay? I told you there'd be a lot of scripture today. Daniel chapter 7 to 12. There, it's a series of visions. We can't get into it. It's crazy, right? But just so you know, it's Daniel's visions, including one vision that predicts the exact date of the coming of the Messiah. Now, if that doesn't excite you to go check that out, I don't know what else to say. The exact date of the Messiah is prophesied in Daniel. You got to check that out. But at the time of these visions, Daniel's in captivity. Right? This is 500 to 600 years before Jesus arrives in human form. And at that time, there was no independent nation of Israel. They were captives. They were conquered and under foreign control. And in Daniel chapter 7, he's in Babylon. And listen to this vision. Daniel 7, starting in verse 13. Here's what it says. In my vision, at night, I looked. There before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. This represents the Messiah, this vision. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And listen to this, verse 14. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is a prophecy about the coming Messiah. This passage right here is really important. This passage was devastating for Jesus, because in the eyes of his accuser, Jesus loved calling himself the Son of Man. That was his favorite name. And that's a direct quote from this vision. And so Jesus saying that he came from heaven, and by using his favorite name, the Son of Man, it was a claim to be equal with God. And this is why they wanted to kill him. But I want to bring to your attention something from this vision. What happens to the Son of Man in this vision? What happens? We just said it. He receives all authority, glory, sovereign power. right? And we see him coming with the clouds. Whenever I hear about Jesus coming with the clouds of heaven, I immediately think of his second coming, right? You think of that? He's coming back on the clouds. And Jesus even says, you're going to see me coming back on the clouds. He says it in Matthew. It says it in Revelation. It says it in Acts. But did you notice something about this vision? Where is Jesus in this vision? Where is Daniel in this vision? Jesus is not coming to earth in this vision. What's he doing? He's going to God. This is not about the second coming. This is Jesus entering heaven. Right? He came from heaven. We know that. He came from there. But now he's entering heaven. When did he ever enter heaven? If he created everything and nothing was created without him and he came from, when did he go in? He went in when he ascended from earth. The Old Testament doesn't just predict his suffering, death, and resurrection. It predicts his ascension, being enthroned and ruling with authority over it all. So we need to see this come to pass, or none of it matters. That's the way that Luke finishes the chapter and his gospel. But it's better laid out where Luke picks it up in his next book in Acts. So let's look at it in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Here's what he said. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Right here, he's going into heaven. There's a time where he's going to return on the clouds, but this time he's going on the clouds. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem. Ah, that's where they started, where the gospel went out, from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. Even this is written. Psalm 68, it says, when you ascended on high, you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord God, might dwell there. Praise be to the Lord, the God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Even this was written long before. His ascension back to heaven was the confirmation of it all. Amen. Now, I hope you will go check out some of those verses today and not just listen to me, but actually look at it for yourself and see how this has been mapped out for centuries to tell us the truth about our Savior. So as we close today, I want you to notice something else. We talked about his entry into Jerusalem a couple weeks ago. Now we're talking about his exit from Jerusalem to heaven, and it begins and ends on the same exact mountain, on the Mount of Olives. And if you think back to that glorious triumphal entry that we celebrate during Holy Week. He came to us in utter humility. It began with him riding a donkey. He could have just destroyed us all. But that humility became the place of ultimate victory. The place Jesus ascends to heaven to receive all authority over everything, even over sin and death. He holds all the keys to our lives. He has all the authority. And here's where it comes together for us. We are a part of that blanket that's being weaved together. Your life is part of that. Your life, God wants to weave into the story. What do these mountaintop moments mean for us? What did this one mean? It means that we have a purpose and we can preach the gospel on His authority. He gives that to us. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins to all nations. Do you know today that I can promise forgiveness to you? I can promise forgiveness to others. Why can I do that? Because I can do it on His authority. Because it all belongs to Him, and He told me to. Amen? It's the greatest news that ever existed. And today, you are no longer responsible for paying the price of your sin. The price was paid. We sang about that today too, didn't we? My debt was paid. It is finished. But we are responsible for spreading the word. This is now our work. This is our purpose. To do exactly what Jesus said until He comes back on the clouds that second time. Amen? Now, I want to invite the worship team. Come on up. Start making your way. And we're going to finish with some praise this morning. Lift our hands to Him for what He has done for us. Amen. Let me ask you something. How about those baptisms last week? Huh? Yes? Are you excited? I get excited about baptisms. Last week, we saw people repent of their sins and do what Jesus asked them to do. But it doesn't stop there. It only begins. It begins there. And now, your story, or should I say, His story needs to be shared with the world. Let all generations tell the story. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for laying this out from the beginning. You've been telling us for all of time what your plan is. And Jesus, you went through deeper valleys and you ascended higher mountains than we will ever face. And that's not to make less of anything that we've gone through. But it is to say that you were able to go through the toughest things and to completely conquer them. And we know that you conquered death because we know by your resurrection. And that the disciples touched your body and they witnessed you ascend and fulfill Scripture. You have taken all authority. And it is in the name of the crucified and risen Lord and Savior that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be brought to the rest of the world. Amen.